Good morning. This is May 31st, the last day of May of 2020. And the title of our sermon today is Don't Do What You're Tempted to Do When Someone Gets Ugly With You. Our scripture this morning comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and be patient.
Have you ever found yourself in a predicament where you're trying to help someone who resisted you, spoke disrespectfully to you, and just flat out acted ugly? In that instant, did you find your blood boiling, your temperature rising, and your emotions agitated? Were you so angry that you felt like you would detonate? Now, be honest. Have you ever felt yourself fly into a rage, lecture the ingrate derogatorily for his attitude, or even horribly slap him? You know, it's natural to feel exasperated when someone you're trying to help doesn't respond appropriately to the assistance you're offering. But yielding to your own emotions won't make that situation any better. In fact, it will only make the situation worse. So hold your tongue, stay seated in your chair, and keep your head on straight when you find yourself in a situation like this.
Many years ago, there was a businessman who had one particular employee who was extremely gifted, but he was one of the most difficult people to work with. This man was rude, insubordinate, critical of others, and regularly late to work. On the other hand, he was very talented and produced great results in his job. One day the businessman wanted to fire him, but then the next day he wanted to reward him. It was such an emotional roller coaster. How could he wish this employee would just calm down, talk nicely to people, and learn how to get along with others? From time to time, the employer had to sit down and talk to this man about his attitude. But dealing with him was so excruciatingly laborious. He dreaded those moments when he knew he had to sit down to talk to him. Here he was, trying to help this employee, but rather than receive correction graciously and thank him for trying to take him to a higher level, he would argue, debate, or try to turn the conversation around and point his finger at other people. It simply exasperated the employer. Yet he knew that God wanted him to work with him and teach this man. Therefore, he had to remain self-controlled and not allow himself to get caught up in the flesh and knock him flat on the ground.
Well, perhaps you could remember a time when you tried to help your child or even a friend, but their response was belligerent and unreceptive. Or a time when you worked with a fellow employee whose attitude toward the boss was so bad that he or she really should have been fired for it. Or perhaps, and unfortunately, sometimes it's even seen in a church setting, when you may have someone who has a critical attitude toward a pastor or a church leader and got involved in ugly backbiting and gossip. You know, when Timothy was serving as a pastor of the Ephesian church, yes, he had some insubordinate people in church leadership positions. Apparently, he had written to Paul about this problem because when Paul wrote his second letter to Timothy, he addressed the problem, telling Timothy what kind of an attitude he needed to maintain when dealing with people who had bad attitudes. Apostle Paul said, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and be patient." This is found in 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. The word strive is the Greek word makamai, and it means to quarrel, dispute, argue, and get into strife or contention with someone else. At first, this Greek word was used to picture armed combatants who exchanged blows with deadly weapons. Later, it came to denote men who fought hand to hand, striking, punching, wrangling, and rolling on the ground as they slugged it out with each other. But by the time of the New Testament, when Apostle Paul used the word machaimai in the verse, it, quote, depicted people who were at odds with each other, bickering, squabbling, slugging it out, not with swords or fists, but with their words, unquote. So Apostle Paul urges Timothy and all of us not to allow ourselves to get dragged down into a war of words when we are striving to correct people who may have a bad attitude.
Next, Paul tells us that we must be gentle. This is the Greek word epeios, which means to be mild-mannered, kind, temperate, calm, or gentle. We find this word used by Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7, where he reminds the Thessalonians of how he had behaved among them. He writes, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherished her children." It is important that we see how Paul uses the word epeios in the context of caring for little children. This suggests that now Paul is telling Timothy to realize that he is dealing with immature people whom he must treat like children. Parents are to teach and discipline their children without flying off the handle every time their children are rude or disrespectful. Now Timothy must assume this kind of parental, correcting, teaching role in the way he deals with these who are acting inappropriately in his church. When people behave disrespectfully towards their boss, their department supervisor, their pastor, or their parents, they are demonstrating that they are not smart and certainly not mature. When you see this, it should send up a red flag before you to let you know the maturity level you're dealing with in the lives of these individuals. Even if they are called to the ministry, even if they have a seminary degree, even if they've been members of your church for a long time, the fact that they would act disrespectfully towards authority reveals that these people are still young in terms of maturity.
Now we should thank God that this came to light in Timothy's life. You know, had we moved these individuals upward into higher places of visibility while they were still at this deficient level of maturity, it would have been a big problem. But now, if you can see it today, as Timothy did in his day, and you can see that they're not ready for a higher place of responsibility, then we proceed with caution. You can also visibly discern the areas in which you need to help them so they can maximize their potential in the Lord. So when we try to bring correction into someone's life, and you struggle with this yourself, and you try to help someone who is under your authority, but that person doesn't initially respond the way he or she should, you know, we have to be careful not to let it ruffle our feathers or throw ourselves into a state of exasperation. And that's easy, isn't it, to get exasperated at our place of work, at our homes, in public places. Certainly, we shouldn't allow ourselves to get so caught up in the emotions that we descend to their level and start acting just like they do. This is a time for us to put on our parent-teacher hats, lovingly deal with that person, like a child if we need to, or a young person who needs to be taught how to respond to authority and who needs guidance and correction from someone who loves them. And what should you do if you get stirred up, allowing yourself to get entrenched into a war of words? Well, we thank the good Lord that your own level of maturity has been exposed. Not only does that other person need to grow, but this situation has revealed a flaw in our own character, drawing attention to an obvious area in our own lives that need attention, correction, and a higher level of maturity. So as we all pray for other people to grow, let's not forget ourselves in the prayer list. Amen.